Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here. Tonight I'm joined by two co-hosts. I have Han Tran as well as Mr. Mark Blagg. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Marvelous, Jim. Marvelous.
Yeah. Just trying not to go corona crazy at home.
Aren't we all? Well, obviously, everyone out there listening is probably in the exact same boat we are. So forgive any background noise. We're working from our houses, doing the show from various places. And obviously, tonight is Straight Talk episode number 70. And we're going to talk about disinfection. Basically, the last of our four-part series having to do with the COVID-19 crisis and how it affects the dental office. What's going to happen? You know, we have covered in the last three shows, and we know it's a serious topic because, gentlemen, I haven't even got the chance to tell you, but our listener numbers are way up over the last three shows. I mean, it is a hot topic. Lots of people are listening in. So last three shows, we've talked about everything from the original problem to all the particular solutions, both mechanically, having to do with the design of the spaces, having to do with potential things like UV lights, air filtration, you name it. Well, the last part is what we're going to concentrate on tonight. And it has to do with basically the disinfection. Basically, how do you disinfect? What should you be doing to disinfect? What criteria that you used to use or system doesn't work anymore? And why? And, you know, that's why we got our resident expert, Mr. Mark Bly, as part of our team tonight to be able to just talk about that. You know, he a while ago did a show with us when we were talking about the Z Innovation system that he represents and what they're putting out. That obviously was way before the coronavirus came through. We didn't plan on that, did we, Mark?
No, you know, if I could see that far in the future, I'd also bought stock and a few things too. So. But no, it was just, we actually started working with this disinfectant and this technology back in October of last year. And certainly because of this, pandemic, it, has escalated things quite a bit.
Yep. Without a doubt it has. And, you know, I guess the best way to look at this is, it's a multi-layer system. That's what we've talked about since the beginning. You're going to have a multiple-layer solution. You know, you're going to be doing the necessary things maybe that are germane to your particular practice or your particular building. If you're building something brand new, then you've got a lot more options. But if you have something existing, you may have to just deal with, you know, potentially screening, some new protocols on how you bring patients in and out, and some filtration systems, and maybe some UV light. But the biggest link is you've got to kill the virus. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about the Z Innovations. Is it called Germ 24 now? What do we call it?
It's called Germ Free Innovations now. So, okay. Like everything else, it's changing rapidly. Yeah, what happened is just the very short part of the business side of this, and we'll get to the germ killing. is we've grown so quickly, and we've actually merged with a national distributor for this technology. So the company is called Germ Free Innovations. Obviously, the germfreeinnovations.com website, you can go out and check it out. But we represent a product that uses a different technology than alcohol kill, and it's called Zitrosil. And what Zitrosil is, it's an antimicrobial shield that actually gets put on things as it's applied. And Jim, you used the term the change in protocols. We've worked a lot with doctors and dental and transportation systems, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, all about changing your protocols. And I think one of the things that we've seen is that today's response to this pandemic, epidemic, or a pandemic, I guess is the right word, is everyone is going to change the protocol. And what used to be something, well, it'd be nice if we did this, now it's, you know, we're going to do it. And so, as you said, part of that protocol change is what you use to disinfect things and what technology. Certainly our products use a new technology. And I think that one of the important things that we like to emphasize is it is a non-alcohol kill. So people say, well, how do you kill the germs then? The Zitrosil technology is an actual antimicrobial shield. And what it does is it applies a bond to surfaces, and it actually creates a positive charge, what we call microscopic swords. We like to call them that. It's called zeta potential. And Zitrosil has been around for a long time. It's been used in Africa. It was basically first developed for Doctors Without Borders and to kill Ebola. And if you go to our website, you'll see that there's a multitude of things that it kills, H1N1, the SARS family. Everybody wants to know, does it kill corona? And it's actually something we've had to address with people. Essentially, yesterday, Rutgers just got the FDA approval from the White House to begin certifying products to kill the COVID-19 strand of the coronavirus, which is different. Our product, we expect there's a 99.9% expectation that our product, because it does kill the corona strand and many other things, that it will be certified to kill COVID-19. But as of yesterday, the testing just began. And that's something that we deal with a lot. People say, well, we killed the coronavirus. Coronavirus has been around a long time. That doesn't mean you kill COVID-19, the COVID-19 strand. So,
and that matters, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Coronavirus has been around a long time. We've inoculated animals for coronavirus for years. Me coming from a small farm town, some of our farmers, including one of my children, said, oh, yeah, we've had coronavirus a long time. But this strand is a much deadlier, much more zealous strain of that technology. So, does our product attack it? Well, yes. And we fully expect to be on the certified list as it becomes known. I know the CDC's put out some things, and CDC said, well, you have to use something that's 60% alcohol kill to kill germs. Then they retracted that and said, well, wash your hands, which is something we should have been doing a long time ago.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you a question. For those that are not extremely well-versed in the area of cleaning, what exactly is the downside of using alcohol-based kill? product?
Well, thank you for asking that, because it was on my notes to get to. It's something we address a lot. First of all, alcohol is just that. It eats everything that it touches in some form. So it degrades surfaces. It degrades hoses, rubber, cans. I think one of the most remarkable things in comparison to an alcohol-based killer disinfectant is when people use our product, they go, oh, my hands feel really great. So back to your addressing your question is, alcohol is just abusive to anything that it touches. Now, it does kill, but it kills good things too, like epidermal cells and things that you don't want it to kill in its path. Also, an alcohol-based killer, once it's dried, it's done killing. So, you know, we get a lot of people that say, well, I just put hand sanitizer on. Yes, but you walked over there and grabbed the doorknob to the bathroom where 20 other patients just were. So you probably have germs on your hand again. Now, the advantage of the Zitrocel is it with that microbial bond, it will has what we call residual kill. And what that means is, in that same scenario, you use the Zitrocel-based product. You go to that doorknob, you touch that doorknob, you still have killing potential on your hands for up to 24 hours. Now, it does decline over time, but you have some kill for up to 24 hours on your hands unless you either scrub it off or, you know, use an alcohol-based product. So, you know, what's the short side of the alcohol base? It likes to eat everything, including germs, but it eats hoses and chairs and, you know, in medical and dental offices, we hear all the time, I've got to replace the covers on my chairs every 5 years. Well, yeah, because you wipe them down with an alcohol-based sanitizer. Our product will not do that. The Zitrocel-based, what we call the Zeta potential, does not do that. It does kill 99.9999, or what we call a six-pole kill. So it's 99 and then 4.99999 after that. And that may not mean much to the average user, but when you get into the clinical studies and the medical people, that six-pole kill versus a four-pole kill is significant. It was something, as I came into the business, I learned a lot about. And, you know, we're talking about killing a multitude of things. And you can go to our website, our Germ Free Innovations website, and you can get all the clinical reports under our resource and technology tabs. And, you know, it certainly is less destructive than an alcohol-based. And it actually has that microbial bond that gives you the potential to kill germs after it dries.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I want to ask you a couple of questions based upon the things you just talked about. The first one is that six-pole versus four-pole, really we're talking about is the difference between potentially someone getting sick and someone not getting sick. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so,
and depending
on
what germ they get.
Yeah, depending on what germ we're talking about or what virus we're talking about. But, you know, obviously the corona COVID-19 virus is an extremely contagious virus. Nobody right now can say just how many exposures or little droplets or whatever you need to be hit with before, you know, it's taken hold on you personally or your patient or your staff, and you know, basically come down with the disease. Correct? Nobody knows that yet.
You know, there's a lot of speculation, but I don't know that anything has been proven.
Right. And so you have to err on the side of extreme caution. Right now, you've got to play it like it really is going to be that critical that you have, you know, 0.99999 to be able to get rid of the particle. Yeah.
Right.
And we've talked about it in previous shows having to do with filtration system. you know, for example, to be able to try to filter out this particular virus, you've got to have a filter that can catch a particle that's down at the 0.06 micron size. That's the smallest size of this micron, 0.06. It's unbelievably small. A normal filter, like a normal HEPA filter, you know, only, you know, it catches down to 0.3. So we're talking about something
right.
that's unbelievably smaller than a HEPA filter. My sister, who's a microbiologist for L'Oreal, she was telling me, she goes, Jim, you have to get a MERV 20, which is the highest HEPA filter rating there is, to even come close to catching this stuff. And even in that, you're going to have to run the air through that filter multiple times by the, you know, to be able to at least get to the point where you're going to say you're at 99%. You haven't got to the point of 0.9999. It's just 99%.
Yeah. Right. You haven't got into the polls on the back end of that. Jim, I'll tell you one of the other two things about what you just said that came to mind as I was listening. Number one is the bacterial toxins that ride on top of the membrane. So a cell has got this hard, like a shell, like kind of like the best description I heard was it's a peanut M&M. So you first have to get through that shell. So you're talking about filtering out the M&Ms. What our product does is says, okay, if you miss that, we're going to break through the M&M shell, the chocolate shell, and we're going to get to the nut in there, and we're going to kill it from the inside. So you talked about air filtration. Well, one of the other studies that we have available, it came in from one of the hospitals, and we have a chief scientist on staff, and so he knows the names of all this, and I don't recall it, but there's a study where a hospital actually sprayed our product with the Zitrocell-based system, our hospital-grade sanitizer, onto their filters and into their ductwork to get the residual kill. Now, we have multiple products. We have a mold and mildew product, which lasts up to 28 days. So we have this residual killing potential over not hours or days, but weeks. And they actually found that the particles that it was trapping, it was killing, and it actually trapped more particles than the initial filter's specifications, because the Zitrocell actually helped filter. It also, one of the side effects, they said, and we didn't even really look at this until someone brought it to our attention, is it lowered their electric bill for their HVAC system, because the microbial bond that it placed on the material actually allowed the air to flow easier. So
pretty interesting,
you know,
Mark.
That's pretty interesting. Now, the other part that I want to talk about, we're going to jump back to that subject in a few minutes because it's pretty crucial, because I'm sure there's a lot of doctors out there that are being told that they can handle this thing by filters. So I think we're going to need to delve into that a little bit more. But the other is having to do with the alcohol based. I can give you an extreme case. My wife has wiped down our house so much with alcohol-based products that she's taken the finish off the handrails. Okay, that's how destructive alcohol is. Alcohol has taken the finish off the handrails. I'm going to have to refinish all my handrails in my house. And, you know that. So that's a prime example of how it does in fact destroy material. It destroys finishes. It destroys paint. It destroys surfaces, whether your countertops. Everything that you wipe down with an alcohol-based, you are effectively taking a layer of whatever that is and degrading it to some degree or another. You do it enough, you're replacing or you're refinishing or you're doing something to that effect. And what you're saying is that this particular product does not have that side effect.
It does not.
Yeah. That's a game changer. I mean, that is a game changer just by itself, because we all know that because of this particular virus, everybody is going to be burning through the sterilization products. You're going to be wiping down everything, you know, probably 10 times more than what you are right now and what you've done before, only to try to make sure that you can do everything to kill off this virus when we all get to open back up again. And, you know, that's the big thing. We've got to position ourselves to open back up again. Now, Mark, tell us a little bit more about that situation where you talked about cleaning the ductwork and the HVAC system with this product. Because one of our layers of solutions has been that you go in and maybe upgrade your air conditioning and heating system to move more air, for example. Because we all know that outside air is a lot cleaner than inside air. So if you're going to move more air and move it through the space, wouldn't it make sense to clean everything you have first so that you're getting rid of the viruses within the system before you start spreading it all over the place even more?
Yes. One of the things that, and we're a distributor, so we distribute to a lot of different companies. But there's a gentleman that has a dental, I'm going to call it a repair business, in Toledo, Ohio, that he has an electrostatic sprayer. And what he does for dental offices is he'll actually go in. He's planning on doing it on a monthly basis. He thought it was a good idea in December. Now a lot of other people think it's a good idea in April. To once a month have him come in with our hospital grade disinfectant product, which uses the same technology, and spray down everything, including as much ductwork as he can get to. And he's actually looking into some equipment to actually do duct cleaning professionally using our product. So, we do have the ability to spray offices down with an electrostatic sprayer. And, you know, we talk about changing protocols, and that's come up in many conversations we've had with medical and dental offices that says, you know, for whatever it costs a month and it not being destructive to the things that it lands on, why wouldn't we do that? So we're treating ductwork, we're treating filters, we're treating carpet, we're treating...
Yeah, exactly. You know, you wouldn't want to do that to your HVAC equipment because that's very expensive equipment. And if you start degrading the coils, for example, you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars to replace that stuff when it goes bad. So you definitely wouldn't want to do that.
One of the advantages of the Zitracell-based product, and there's two of them out there right now. We're one of them. And we own the patent. The manufacturer that we work with owns the patent. It not only disinfects, it deodorizes. So it doesn't have a smell. And it's one of the things people put it on and they sniff it and they go, ooh. And we actually had somebody say, well, if it doesn't stink, it doesn't work. Well, that's not true. If it doesn't stink, it doesn't work. Well, you know, that's not true. But so when you're spraying filters, air conditioners, air purification devices, we've even sprayed a friend of mine owns an auto dealership near my hometown, and we electrostatic sprayed and sucked it into these used cars that he had, and it took smoke smell out. So, you know, that's one of those things. And then he uses it. He has recirculating air handlers. I think that's the right term. You guys would know that more than I do. And he actually he dilutes our hospital grade disinfectant into his recirculating air handler filters and his car dealership. It's amazing. You go in his car dealership and you don't smell things like, oh, the new car smell, or somebody just drove a car into the showroom. So not only do you get the benefit of the germ killing, you get the disinfect and deodorizing together.
Well, that kind of plays into the idea of the perceived cleanliness. We've talked a little bit about that. The cleanliness is twofold. Obviously, you know, are you actually killing the bacteria, the viruses, the germs? You know, is it clean from a microscopic level? But the other part about it is from perception. Does the patient feel like it's clean? And what's the quickest way to say something is clean or not clean? You know, does it smell? If it smells bad,
right,
you're going to say, this place isn't clean.
Right. And we actually had that, Jim, you know, just a few days ago. A factory, they use it in their air handlers. And I was there because I wanted to see how it performed. And the guy said, well, I don't smell anything. And the other guy turned and looked at me and said, exactly. That was the end of the conversation. I go, you're not supposed to smell anything. It disinfects and deodorizes. You know, you're not smelling the aftermath of, you know, a motor turning or germs going through or smoke smell or whatever. So that was one of the other benefits. That's very good that you brought that up, because that's one of the other benefits is when you don't smell anything, that's because there's nothing contaminating the smell, you know. Like the guy said, well, it doesn't stink, so does it work? Well, yes, it works. It's killing things.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's really it's something that's changing. I think people that weren't concerned with the details in their protocols in a lot of offices are becoming obviously more detail oriented. And so, you know, the disinfectants, and there's a few out there that have this residual kill capability. You know, Procter & Gamble has one. We have one. It's a good idea because you know it's clean and you know it's going to continue to be clean. And, you know, one of the other things we've become noted for is we have a laundry product for scrubs. And we've actually donated a bunch to hospitals recently that do the same thing. So we can not only treat surfaces and carpets and things like that, we can treat clothing with the same set of potential of the kill.
Now, does that have the same residual?
Well, my clothes
that
don't
has
smell
the same
like
residual
fabric
kill?
Soap.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Does that have the same residual kill capability?
Yes,
like,
it does.
You know, does it last 24 hours?
It lasts, yes. It does. One of the things we've got to be very careful about, the residual kill will last 24 hours, but as the day goes on, it degrades. So, you know,
yeah,
you'll get
100%
kill within 15 seconds of an application of a product. And then as the day goes on, it goes down to, I think, within 24 hours. I wish I had our scientist online, but because he knows the exact number. But it's around 68% kill within 24 hours.
That's still dang good.
Well, you know, it's better than, you know, a smelly detergent that will clean your clothes, but doesn't give you anything after you take them out and lay them on the ground or touch your first patient or, you know, hit yourself with a glove that's dirty, things in that line. So,
yeah, because obviously that's a problem, isn't it, Han? What you were talking about, once you bring a patient into the operatory, the whole operatory is infected, right? Han, did I lose you? You're still there.
I'm here, Jim.
I can attest to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So effectively, the whole operatory is affected by all of this bacteria and virus and germs. And so, if you have multiple layers of this stuff in place, you're effectively combating it in multiple ways. You were saying, Mark?
I think certainly once you, and I'll use a dental term, is once we turn a room, so one patient leaves, we prep a room for the next patient. You know, you go through your protocol, but once the next patient enters the room, I mean, the second that the patient steps from the carpeting of the hallway into the room is potentially contaminated by whatever that person brings with them, either through having some type of germ or flu or cough or, you know, nicotine or whatever they trapped in the carpet in their shoes. When you get into those situations where people are entering and exiting a room, you obviously have to go through your protocols as a provider to assure the best thing. But the second that the next person steps in, the room is essentially contaminated at that point. That's one of the reasons what we have found that dental offices treating their carpeting and doctor's office treating their carpeting was a huge, huge advancement in killing the germs that are carried into the room.
So in terms of material, we're looking at and actually almost advocating that carpet. We definitely do not want carpet inside a treatment room, okay, or in the clinical area. Mark, I do have a couple of questions pertaining to the product. Okay, you mentioned the scent. It has a scent of cleanliness. I have run into a lot of folks that wear it almost like they wear the Febreze as their choice of cologne, and they become extremely almost offensive. Some aroma. Some people are very sensitive to it. So, is it more of a pine, or is it more of a citrus, or does it have a unique, distinct scent?
It actually has no smell, Han. If I stated that it gave us some scent, I misspoke. This product is non-scented. It does not give off a smell. It actually neutralizes any odor-causing bacteria. Honestly, we've been approached by a group, a very large group that once is using our product and said, you know, could you put a little lemon smell in it? And we consulted with the manufacturer. The manufacturer said no, because then that, you know, how are you going to create lemon smell? And they just said no. We're not changing the formula. The formula has been proven.
It would neutralize that.
We've run into that.
Okay. That's funny.
Well, actually, it probably would do just that. Like you said, it'll neutralize the smell that you put in it. So effectively, it's impossible to scent it.
Yeah.
I would think.
What we'd be doing is putting a lemon scent in our antimicrobial.
Eats it away.
Formula would go, ooh, that's a bacteria, kill it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's something bad, kill it. Now,
that's right.
So molecularly, this product, it's on the surface. When you say you turn a room, you know, obviously it would be difficult for them to come in and effectively spray a room down every time it's used. So how do you go about turning a room with your product? Do you hit the surfaces that are touched, or, you know, because we all know the minute they fire up one of those, you know, one of the apparatuses or the drills or anything else, you've got stuff flying everywhere. Now, you know, we've talked about, and there's a potential of some vacuum systems and some air circulation systems that'll grab the air. But eventually these particles are going to land They're going to land on surfaces. They're going to land on the chair. Obviously, they're going to land on the people, and they're going to land on the floor. Gravity's going to make, you know, more of it's going to the lower level than it is to, for example, the ceiling. Although some of them will probably get up to the ceiling, too. Well, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't want to be that patient that my germs fly to the ceiling based on who's working on me. I don't want to be that patient. I don't want to have a tooth that sore. It's one of the things that we've spent a lot of time speaking with dentists about during this last month or so, is the change in the protocol. And let me say, if a dentist's office is following their protocol, and I'm not accusing anybody of not doing it, but if they're following their protocol, they're doing a Kavisai type wipe with the alcohol, they're doing a wipe, let dry, another wipe, and then a manual dry. So, you know, you're looking at 3 to 7 minutes if you're following your protocol before. That's after you've gotten all the contaminated stuff out. So everything is out. You're wiping down. You're letting the alcohol evaporate, doing its job. Then you're wiping again. Then you're taking a clean towel and wiping down a second time. So you're wipe, dry, wipe, manual dry. We don't think that, and we're in the midst of, obviously everything is changing with the protocols, that we would necessarily recommend a change in your protocol from using our product. We're still going through this, you know, what they need to do and what they're supposed to do is changing daily in the dental office. I'll specifically speak to the dental office. One of the thoughts is that you maintain that protocol. You just use our product with its zeta potential and this microbial bond instead of doing the wipe, dry, and letting it evaporate. So going through the same protocol, we think we can shorten the time you turn a room maybe from 5 minutes to 3 minutes. Now, if you've got a 12-operatory facility working 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year, you can do the math and figure out that you gain some things there. But to address specifically the concerns that you had with this stuff is spraying everywhere. So what if I miss, you know, I'm wiping for the next patient and I miss a quarter inch strip on the one area of the countertop. Because I know that you cannot tell with any product where you've wiped. You know, you can see the wetness, but you've missed areas. So how much better would you feel to say, okay, if the person turning the room happens to miss a quarter inch of the end of the counter that got some type of contaminated fluid on it, that the molecular bond material that's there will kill it without it being rewiped. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Yes.
So, and that's kind of where we came down with the idea that we have these people out there, some of our resellers and our people we supply product to, that say, you know what, we're going to come in every month and we're going to electrostatic spray your entire building down. And it's going to cost you, I don't know, $400, $600, $800, whatever it is. And what that's going to give you is we're going to hit everything. So we're going to hit every piece of woodwork and molding you have that, you know, we're going to hit every corner of every room that, you know, we're going to hit every countertop. We're going to hit every doorknob. We're going to hit everything. And we
inside
actually have
drawers,
ADP meetings.
Drawers.
Yeah.
That's a big one. What do you do about the inside of drawers?
Right. Well, in that, I think that's going to be one of the changes in protocols. People said, well, you know, we'll clean that out once a month and wipe it down. Now, I think that's going to be one of the changes that arrive from this. But so, you know, I guess the difference is in what we feel like the Zitrosil or the Zeta potential, we like to call it, gives us that, hey, if you miss something, you still have the residual microbial kill. as where if you miss something with an alcohol-based kill, it you still have the germs. You have no defense, no regard for I need to kill this and somebody didn't wipe it because we're in a hurry and we're behind and all the things that potentially happen that we all want to follow the protocols, but if we're looking at ourselves in the mirror and being honest, we don't always do that. And this by no means gives you the ability to say, well, okay, I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to do that this time. But it gives you, when you're the dentist and the proprietor and the owner and the people that care for your patients, it's nice to know that if it gets missed, that there's something there to fill in that gap.
Well, it helps big time with your staff. Because nobody's perfect, but at the same time, you don't want your staff to get ill, because just as much as you don't want your patients to get ill, your patients are only in there, once a month or once every 6 months if it's hygiene or whatever it is, but your staff is there every day, all day long. So
if you have a staff that turns a room 10 times a day, 10 times they're exposing themselves to whatever they're using to kill germs.
Right.
And so is it an alcohol base, something that's, the other thing, the other product that we have or other piece of this is we have aloe in our product because the Zitrucel, the molecular bond won't kill the aloe. And it's on the blacklist or something. I don't know. The chemist would know how that not happens, but people that use the product, it actually makes your hands soft, which is we have these little 1.7 sampler bottles that we have, and we give those out to doctors and dentists, and we usually I never like to give them to the dentist or the doctor. I always give them to the people that turn rooms or the front desk ladies or, the gentleman that's, the person checking people in and walking into offices. Cause they're the people that, the first thing you go into a doctor's office, you sit down, the attendant comes in, they reach over, hit that bottle and take a squirt of hand sanitizer and, hey, how you doing today? And, they love the product because of what it doesn't do to the people that are touching it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mark, are you aware that a large population of graduating dentists are women?
Sure.
They use them. Some of the reading that I read about, gloving up and stuff like that, the reason why, at one time they favor the hand sanitizer versus the actual soap and hot water wash. Is that their hand go through quite a bit of abuse, and it gets so dry and chap and all that stuff. So anything that can help them to their hand to be more vibrant and soft and all that stuff would be definitely a plus. You brought up a good point about the duration that it takes to turn over a room. It's a good thing that it's reducing it rather than add another layer of time-consuming tasks. So that definitely is a plus for the product.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark.
Let me just spin in my thought on that, Han, is we've had dentists that said, you know what, we're not going to reduce the time even though we can, but we're not going to make it worse, as you said, but we're going to know that we've got that extra effort if we happen to miss something.
Yeah.
So, a lot of dentists are shortening their turn time. And like I said, if it's, 3 to 5 minutes, you do the math on a 12 operatory room and, you understand that there is some potential for maybe 6 extra patients a month.
Yeah.
Depending on what.
It's just like production time, every minute you lose is a minute you lose in, generating revenue. So naturally, if they can reduce it, that's a great thing.
Well, yep. that may also help in the scenario that we talked about with the new protocol about, you know, bringing patients into the building and getting them in the chair and staggering that Bill talked about in our last show, because obviously that's going to take a little bit more time. So, you know, you make it up here, it's because you're spending it over there. And so there is that possibility. Let me ask you this question, Mark, and one of the areas, and you may not know the answer, and I'm sorry if I sprung it on you, but one of the areas that we're really have been done a lot of investigation is the use of UV light, specifically UVC light, which irradiates the basically the DNA of bacteria and viruses. It gets down in the molecular level, kind of like uh-huh. that, you know, gets through the outer shell of the Reese's pieces and gets to the, you know, to the peanut and destroys it molecularly just by, you know, radiation. Does that have any effect, or do you have any data on UV light having an effect on the product, the Zitrocel?
I do not, but I just made a note of that, and I will talk to our chief scientist. I'll send him a note tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, because that would be a consideration, only in that if you're doing one product or using your particular product that you're talking about, and then also augmenting it with UV light that maybe is in your ductwork, or maybe that's in the ceiling that they turn on at night and basically kill the whole room, you know, for a couple hours or however long. I mean, really, surfaces only take about 15 seconds with the right amount of UV light. But, you know, areas that are underneath countertop edges and that kind of stuff, you need a little bit longer. Or if you have carpet, you know, you've got to get down into the fibers of the carpet and kill the pathogens that are down there. You're right. The carpet is one of the nastiest areas and the hardest areas to clean. So, you know, if your product has that ability to be able to get in there and destroy that, because, Han, I think even you brought up in the last show how everything is brought in so much so, for, you know, on your feet.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Now, that's one of the reasons that our people that do the treatments, that's one of the areas they go in with ATP meters and do testing, you know, with the swabs and whatever. The first thing, almost everybody that we've talked to, the very first thing they do is go for the carpet. and people go, ooh. So
it's like a sponge.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and gravity is just that. You sneeze, gravity will eventually pull those droplets to the floor, and in those droplets is, you know, is the virus. So it's there. It just depends on how far away it is from you.
And you know, I certainly, a lot, you know, some of the manufacturer of carpeting products do say that they have antimicrobial treatment and things like that, but let me see, I'm not 100% sold on how effective it is. Okay.
Microbial means that it will not allow bacteria to grow within the medium of the carpet. It doesn't mean that it kills the bacteria that's there. It just doesn't create the medium for the bacteria to grow. And we're talking about viruses. Viruses are different.
Yeah.
Virus doesn't grow like a bacteria, like a mold. Virus is just there. Then once it gets into you, into your system via your lungs or whatever, that's where it grows and multiplies. My sister taught me that. You know, I don't know all that stuff. I listen to the experts.
Well, I get that every day. My wife works for an organ donation facility, which focuses on cornea transplants in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And so I get her CDC and the CDC explanation updates every morning with her. We have coffee over CDC and germologist updates. It's quite a thing, you know.
That's awful personal, Mark.
I know.
So we've got a few minutes left. What products are out there that the dentist can actually utilize? I know you've talked about the ability to spray things down, but what all does this come in, and how can they utilize it?
Well, we have a whole array of hand sanitizers that use our product, all the way from a 1.7-ounce squirt bottle that you can sit on your counter for your patients, an 8.5-ounce pump. We also have touchless dispensers that go in that are made specifically for the treatment rooms. So that have the bags and, you know, follows the same protocol. So we have that. We have sanitizing soap, and we could have an hour discussion on the difference between hand sanitizer and sanitizing soap. But sanitizing soap does kill germs, just not as effectively as the hand sanitizer, and certainly not as long. We have the laundry, which actually is becoming very popular with, like I said, we shipped a bunch of it to New York, it donated it, and the results are phenomenal. We'll actually get some studies back here shortly so it applies that same Zitrocel. So we have that. We have surface sanitizers, and then we have hospital-grade disinfectants. So we can kill, you know, we're FDA compliant. We're FDA sort of authorized with all the hand sanitizers. The surface sanitizers, we actually are not today EPA certified, but within days we will be. So I was just checking to see. We met with the task force yesterday, believe it or not, or Friday, and we haven't got the word back yet. But anything that goes on surfaces has to be EPA. Anything that goes on people has to be FDA. We have all the FDA certifications and all the numbers, but we do have a surface sanitizer, and then we have a hospital-grade disinfectant. You know, we have mold and mildew. It's nice. I think one of the things is I got involved with this organization. I kept going, oh, wait a minute. What if we did this? I mean, we have a topical product, which is a similar to like a Neosporin consistency that actually is used, and it uses the same technology. We have it for pets. It's like I said, you can go to our website, which is germfreeinnovations.com, or the manufacturer of these products are ESC, like Escape, brands.com, and ESC Brands has the full product line out there. It's an interesting thing. It's people are finding uses for it every day. We're doing some things with one of our research facilities is in Greensburg, North Carolina. And we're doing some things with the chemical research facility at the college there to do all kinds of different things with this technology. So it can fit in a lot of places.
Let me throw one off the top of your head, just kind of using that same thing. What about this? Obviously, I'm a big proponent of, you know, changing out the filters on your HVAC units, your air handlers. You got to change these filters. The more you change the filters, you're still going to catch some particles. Okay, you may not get them all, but you're going to catch some of them. What if you were to treat your air filters with this product, the spray product? Do you get that same kind of residual kill?
Yes.
You may not have that technical data, but logic would think that it would work.
Well, no, that we actually have a study with a major hospital that did that. I'm looking to see if the study's on our website. If not, if you leave information on our website, we'll get you the study. But there was actually a study done by a hospital that it did help with the filtration and increase the efficiency of the filters. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they did the filter, they did the duct work, and again, it just worked. It's mm-hmm. one of those, hey, let's try this. Oh, wow, it worked. Type
right.
things.
So I could see a scenario where part of the regimen is, you know, let's say you're cleaning people or whatever, you know, whoever you have to do it, you have a maintenance person that on a periodic scenario, you have your filters changed. They should be changed at least once every month. Don't let anybody fool you. If you're not changing them once a month, folks, you're in trouble, especially nowadays. But, you know, maybe sometime sooner, but at least once a month, you're hosing those things down with your product and putting them in there and letting them kill as much of the stuff that goes by them as possible.
Jim, I'm actually doing
I
moved into a new home in December, and obviously when you build a new home in the wintertime, it's locked up tight, and I was afraid of that. I was afraid of air quality and things like that because, you know, these new homes are, you know, like a Ziploc bag. It's hard to get air in and out. They don't leak. And I've actually taken our hospital-grade disinfectant and diluted it 3-to-1 because it's pretty strong. I didn't want it to eat my filters just in case. I'm diluting it, and I actually spray my filters down with just a spray bottle before I put them in there. And we have not had any illness in our home since we moved in. We use our products. You know, we're very fortunate that we haven't. All my children have them. You know, they wear our – we have a 6x8-inch wipe that comes in like a – I don't know, like a – best thing I can compare it to, I call it diaper wipe bags. You know, I'm a grandpa, so you know, you get the diaper wipes out. You know, I was laughing because my 11-year-old granddaughter was using it as a face mask.
So,
you know, we've been very fortunate. We've actually done that. It's one of the things, I like to be my own guinea pig as we, come up with ideas and we have a very good relationship with the manufacturer and they're very open to things. You know, they're a bunch of scientists that developed this great product many years ago, and they hold a patent on it. And they listen. They listen to usages. They listen to things like somebody wanted to put the lemon scent in it. I think they might have tried it and went, nope. But they did. So things like that, Jim, I think that as time goes on and protocols and these things become more of the standard to worry about these things, we're going to find more uses for this.
Yeah, without a doubt. Han, what questions do you have for Mark in the last few seconds we have here?
No, I think Mark can cover pretty much everything that I was thinking. Yeah, I'm glad that he brought up the I just got a brain fart, guys.
Well, Han clears his brain. Mark, how do the people out there get a hold of you?
Obviously, our website is up and going. It's germfreeinnovations.com. There's phone numbers on there. You can call us. We'll, you know, depending on what your question is, we'll either have myself or a gentleman named Jay Baum is the president of the company. Jay's very knowledgeable, but we also have a scientist on staff. So if you come up with the real technical guru, you know, the UV light, will it kill it type things, Jim, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, Daniel, our scientist, will probably get that information for you. You know, you can contact us. There's a place on the website. I'll tell you what, if you're out there listening and you contact us, and you put HJT Design in the subject matter line, we will send you a sample 1.7-ounce bottle of our product for free.
Hey, Mark, since you've got, you know, since you've got the airtime, go ahead and give him your contact number, guy. We can do that.
Okay. Well, my number is area code 419-466-9406, or you can send me email at mark@germfreeinnovations. Or if I don't answer the phone and you need an immediate answer, you can call our office at area code 704-255-1734. That's where our headquarters is in Charleston and Charlotte. We're in the Charlotte. We have people in Charlotte. We have people in Charleston. And we will make sure that we get back to you.
Excellent.
Like I said, if you contact me, I will be happy to send you a free sample 1.7-ounce bottle of our product. And seeing's believing. That we get a lot of people after you go, you got to try it. We do have the clinicals to back up the claims, and all the studies and the FDA, and hopefully by tomorrow we'll have EPA. It's there, and it does work, and it's the claims that we make are proven.
Well, excellent. Well,
excellent,
without a doubt, you know, thankful that you were able to be able to spend time with us and share all this data and information with our listeners, because I can see the strength of the product in relationship to all the other stuff that we've talked about. Put it together with some of the remedies. Obviously, like we said before, anybody out there that's listening that wants to, speak with Han or I or even Mark, get a hold of us. You can get us on our website. Give us a call, send us an email. We've got that little thing called the evaluation assessment, which we do via a virtual meeting. So we'll be able to, deal with it right away, and we'll assess your facility and at least give you a roadmap or a game plan as to what potentially you would need to do to be positioned to open back up again. I mean, there's lots of talk. Hopefully we'll get open sooner than later, and everybody can at least begin to start moving forward. Obviously the hard hit places like New York and others around the country, it's going to take a little longer for them. But, some of the other parts of the country, we might be able to hopefully be open here in the next couple of weeks or so and at least slowly back to reality. Now, there's going to be a lot of build-up businesses, isn't there? Everybody that had all their hygiene appointments canceled have to now reschedule. All those non-emergency but still important procedures have to be rescheduled. Sounds like everybody's going to be busy, don't you think, guys?
Let's hope so.
Oh, I think it's going to be crazy. After that,
I think it's going to be crazy.
Can I just add one more thing, Jim? And I think I'll give you an example of this. But we talked a little bit about coming up with creative ways to use this product, and we're willing to work with you. The beauty of our relationship with the manufacturer is that we have access to the actual chemists. And I'll give you a quick example, and then I'm going to have to bug out because I've got another appointment, believe it or not. But we had a manufacturing company in Grand Rapids, Ohio, which is a population of about 12. I don't know. I'm just being facetious. But
yes,
it's a factory that makes cheese paper for a company in Wisconsin that makes cheese. So they make the wax paper for them.
Cool.
And they were having trouble with germs getting on the paper when they ran it through their rollers to squeeze it. And there's some top secret formula they used. And they came to us and said, look, can we use your soap product? Because it will lubricate and it will kill germs. And so we sent them some, and it was there wasn't enough viscosity in it. And they got with our chemist, and we actually created a custom formula for them that they use our sanitizing soap to clean the product, clean the rollers, and germ kill and create enough viscosity that it goes through the rollers without getting stuck. So
nice, Mark.
You talk about creative ways of trying to figure all this out and creative ways to do that. If you have an idea or you have a need, send me an email and we'll work with you. That's the beauty of us being in that type of relationship with the manufacturer.
Cool.
Excellent.
Well, you know, thank you to all. We look forward to next week. We'll have another interesting show. We haven't picked a topic yet because obviously, you know, we've been going through all these series and, you know, this is pretty important stuff. So with that, you know, thanks for spending time. Gentlemen, thank you for being part of the show. Han, I'll let you have the last word.
Yeah, Jim, I'm going to sneak this one in, okay? Before we got into the air, a dentist had reached out to me and asked me about the new OSHA guideline pertaining to negative pressure rooms. We're going to do some research, and hopefully we can cover that on our next episode. So meanwhile, I appreciate all of you to spend the hour with us. Stay safe, wash your hand, and don't touch your face. Have a good evening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.